everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. Joining me, as usual, it's the Retro Witch herself, Stephanie Bree. Steph, how are you?
I'm a bit exhausted, but I'm here, so I'm going to give you 70% today.
No, we settle for no less than 100, sweetie.
Okay, but see, I operate at 300%, so when I come down to 70, I'm still at 140.
If you don't operate at 100% for these shows, I replace you.
Oh, no. Well, I need some soda. How was your weekend?
My weekend was, well, it was something else. Not real productive, but it was okay. How was yours?
Oh, it was pretty good. I gave blood on Saturday.
Wait, there was someone who actually wanted it?
I don't know if they wanted it, but I offered and they took it. And then on Sunday, I got my second dose of my vaccine.
Yay!
This was also Mother's Day, so I talked to my mom. It wasn't a very long conversation, but it, you know, we're still having a relationship. So
that's always good.
You know, we're still working out the kinks, but you know, it's better than it was weeks ago.
I did not talk to my mother on Mother's Day.
So sorry.
Don't be.
I know the story. I know.
Don't be at all. Don't be. So this is episode 17.
It is.
This is pretty cool.
Yes.
17 weeks in a row we've done this shit.
Yes. And we haven't taken a day off.
Not one week off. Well, I took a week off.
Well, yeah, but we still kept it going. And that
one
was
important. We still kept it going. That was kind of, yeah, I kind of needed that one day off. But, yeah, 17 episodes, and our fan base is growing.
Yes, and we love you all, every one of you.
Every one of you, but we have to start the show off.
Uh-oh. Yes.
With a thank you.
Uh-huh.
Because 2 weeks ago? Yes, 2 weeks ago. We set up our Patreon page.
Woo.
We have two people to thank today.
Two patrons.
Two patrons. So we're going to start off with that. And we're going to start off with Jean Todd. Thank you.
That's my mom.
That's your mom. So
she does love me.
Either that or you guilt tripped her.
No. I just asked.
You just asked. And there you go. See? So thank you, Jean, for being a patron. I don't know what the fuck you call it.
That's okay.
Second one, I want to say thank you to Allison Young. She's
not
messaged me. She's not her, no, she's not Stephanie's mom. Allison has messaged me a couple times via Twitter. A super cool individual. Thank you, Allison, for supporting us.
Yep.
So if you want to be super cool like Gene and Allison,
and get your name read on the podcast.
That's right. And if you want access to the very, very special Robin's Thoughts.
Uh-huh. Also, that Zoom meeting that's coming up.
Is it?
Well, as soon as someone signs
up for
that tier.
Signs up for the tier that will. Yes.
I'll do it, no audience or not.
That's so sad.
That's exactly my YouTube channel. 3 weeks later, zero views. Yay!
Well, then you have plenty of experience with that, don't you?
Uh-huh.
So, yes, join our Patreon page at patreon.com/transposed.
Is it transposed or transposed pod?
Transposed pod.
There you go.
Dang it.
Don't leave out the pod.
I know. It's kind of insane. Sorry, I've been cooking.
And they're not Tide Pods, by the way.
They are
much more yummier
than
Tide Pods. I don't know from experience, though.
I don't know what to do with that.
She's like, well, shit, you don't.
I question whether or not you've eaten a few Tide Pods. Because, Steph, I love you to death, but most of the time you're exhausting. Oh, by the way.
And I'm not very clean, so obviously I'm not eating Tide Pods.
No. By the way, we had a discussion this morning about sandwiches.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember the insanity?
Oh my God, you're on that again.
I'm
okay.
Just, I
everybody,
just, no.
She said, there's no mayonnaise. You can get some at the gas station on your lunch break. I'm like, no, you can't take apart a sandwich once it's already put together. I said, disassemble. You can't disassemble an already assembled sandwich. And then she went ballistic, like, oh my God, yes, you can. And I'm like, no, you can't. Once it's assembled, it's done. You don't touch. Because then you're getting fingerprints on the meats and the breads and the no, ew, grody. Ah. And then she said, this.
Are you done?
Yes.
All right.
And she's
so
gonna tell you what
that's
didn't
no, that's. She's looking for the mayonnaise to put on her sandwich. I told her, why don't you just go to the gas station when you're at lunch? Because lo and behold, there's one within walking distance of her. And it's actually a really nice gas station.
It actually is.
And just get a couple of the packets of mayonnaise like they have for you to eat if you buy a hot dog, which is, I don't know anybody who does that.
I do. But
of,
I don't put
of
them,
course you
I
do.
I don't put them in bread. I just shove them in my mouth.
Oh, dear God. There's a sound bite there. Anyway, I told her you just take the top bread off.
No.
You put the mayonnaise on. You spread it on there. And then you put your sandwich back together.
No.
And somehow.
That's too much touching.
Somehow that just broke down. And it's apparently wrong to take sandwich apart to put any sort of condiments on it. So I asked
you add people. You attach the stuff when you're building the sandwich. I don't care how they do it at Subway. Subway's weird.
I asked some people.
Of course you did.
And I also asked AJ.
Uh-huh.
AJ's response was, "The fuck is wrong with you?"
Me or you?
You. And that was followed by she looked at me and said, "She's your friend, so why am I not surprised?" Other responses included, "Yeah, okay, whatever, nut job," and "Well, that just doesn't sound right." So, yeah,
because I'm not allowed to have standards.
It's not standards. You're just weird as fuck.
That I've never disagreed with.
And it's again, this is why you're exhausting sometimes.
I ended up finding mayonnaise in the refrigerator and putting it on at the appropriate time during assembly of the sandwich.
Ah, this is my life,
and
folks.
It was a yummy sandwich, by the way.
This is yummy. My life. This is what I deal with all the time. Oh, dear God. Moving on. So this week's episode is a little bit of questions and answers.
Yes, and I'm excited for this.
Because we got these from some of our listeners on Twitter.
Y'all came
through. Yeah, you came through. one of these questions, I'm probably going to end up throwing something at Stephanie because I know she's going to go.
I'll behave.
She's
I almost
be
promise.
Nice. You almost promised? Did you think I was going to slit that slip? I almost promise.
Yes. As what's his name said, almost doesn't count. I think it was Brandy actually that said it. I'm not sure who wrote it. It was probably Timbaland that wrote it. And Randy that said it. It could have been JD, but we'll let that one slide.
And then we're going to talk about role models and leaders. I've got quite a bit to say on that.
Right.
Because of some recent events in the media, I feel there's certain things that need to be said. And I'm going to say it. And yeah, we're going to kind of address the elephant in the room on that one.
Uh-oh. Is this a zoo elephant?
Well,
no.
No, but it's funny you say that because then we'll have this week's top five.
Yes.
Which you just spoiled.
Anyways,
so let's start off with our first question. And the first question we were given was, and by the way, I didn't take anybody's name on this because I didn't want to butcher anybody's name on air and make them upset at us. So If you submitted this question, thank you. It's a really good one, and we appreciate it. So the first question is, are there surprising things or activities that you enjoy now that you did not enjoy before starting transition?
I have a few.
Do you?
I'm sure you do.
You want to start?
Yeah. Well, before I started transitioning, I hated taking baths. Robin can attest to that to a degree. I'm not a fan of water or cleanliness, but it's a reason that I don't need to get into. But the real reason is behind me in the past. But I've discovered now I really enjoy shaving my legs in the bathtub. And that was one of those things that, okay, we've talked about that previously, but it's something that makes me feel very feminine, and it helps me push away the other feelings I have when I'm taking a bath. Because, you know, when you're in a bath, you're naked. And that's when, you know, we've mentioned that too. Dysphoria can be triggered. So, but some of the other things I've found that I enjoy is I've found myself really enjoying rom-coms more than ever. I've always been into rom-coms, but I've been kind of like, passive, you know. But now I'm like really like, not Julia Roberts. I used to hate Julia Roberts, and now I'm just like, oh, now I get it. So, you know, those are a couple of things. Also shopping. I've always been into shopping, but I was always shopping for like toys or computers or DVDs or things like that. But now I can actually sit and I can walk around the clothing aisle for hours looking for the right top. I can walk around Walmart for hours, by the way.
I don't know why.
It's a fabulous store that you're afraid of for reasons.
Yeah, right. Fabulous. Sure, we'll go with that.
Hey, I am white trash, by the way. Walmart.
I'm not disputing that at all.
Also, one that I've discovered recently is now that my hair's getting longer, this is a thing I've started. I like to play with my hair more. And that includes not just like twirling it, because, you know, that's fun, but also like combing it, brushing it, trying to style it. Those are things I never really thought I would like, because I always thought I would grow my hair long and then just like pull it back and that'd be it.
Like somebody else. But yeah, I get that. I understand that. Yeah.
And then, I've always enjoyed cooking, but lately I feel more like, I was always afraid of baking, but lately I feel like I really want to try baking more.
I would love for you to try baking, but I'm also afraid of burning my house down.
I will not comment on that.
For me, honestly, not really. There's nothing that I mean, there were activities that I did, like shopping, but I kind of just kept them not really. I mean, they're not a new activity or something. It's just something that I kind of pushed back and didn't really do a whole lot of, even though I would love to have been out doing those things. Stuff like... I've always kind of done things like cooking and cleaning and baking and all those kind of fun things that are stereotypically girly, you know, women's work, as it used to be called, but which is such a freaking terrible way to put it.
No, I'm not going to lie. That was something I liked doing even before. Even when I lived by myself, I would love to, like, you know, I don't have an actual, like, French maid outfit, but I would put on a skirt and, you know, something that looked cute and clean the house. I loved doing that even before transition.
And yet, never mind, I'm not gonna go there. But no, I mean, for me, there really wasn't anything that I enjoy now that I didn't enjoy before. It was more, I guess, for me, just kind of repressing the stuff, and I still enjoyed it, but I just didn't say anything. Now, of course, obviously, some stuff people knew I did a lot of cooking, because people ate my food. People have always eaten my food, especially around the holidays when I do Christmas cookie mania. And for me, I mean, the shopping thing, I put a big break on it, but mostly it wasn't because of hiding a gender stereotype or anything like that. It was more of I was flat freaking broke.
Yeah.
So put the brakes on it.
Well, I have discovered a couple of things that I didn't know I would like that I hadn't really thought about until you said all of that.
Okay.
But finish your story and then I'll tell you.
That's it.
Okay, good. I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
I know. Okay. Come on.
So, well, I was thinking about the drag show, right?
Okay.
Previously, I was always fascinated by drag, but it was one of those I was too afraid. And this is where I think what she was just saying, this is where a lot of it was. There's a lot of things that, it wasn't that we weren't into them or we're discovering that we liked them, it's just we never could explore them. Drag was one of them. I could never really go to a drag show because I couldn't really get the courage to do so. Mm-hmm. Or I couldn't get, I didn't have any gay friends that I could go with and tag along and say, oh, I'm just supporting my gay friend or, you know, whatever. So I never had an excuse other than, now I don't need an excuse. I just want to go. I go. The other one was flirting with boys, which was, you know, has so far been a lot of fun. They have not reciprocated, by the way.
Oh, thank God. But no, I don't think for me, I just, there's nothing that is like, surprising to me that I enjoy. I mean, at least surprises that I can talk about on the air. I do think, yeah, there has been specific behaviors that's kind of surprised me and changed a little bit, but not. I think they were always kind of there, just hiding behind that stereotype.
A big one in that realm is hair and makeup. I can't leave the house until I've done my hair and my makeup. And before, I used to just throw on a hat and go out the door.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore either. So, okay, yeah.
And yes,
so...
I enjoy applying makeup. I don't enjoy shopping for the shit.
Well, that's kind of an overload thing, so yeah. So,
and it's not very organized.
It never is, no. Oh. But, you know, you try a whole bunch of different shit and see what works. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you really do. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's really about it for that. I mean, any other activity or thing that you didn't think you would like but suddenly do like it now that...
Well, no, I mean, I think we've really covered them all.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, okay. Everything else, like you said, it was always there. It was something I either did in secret or it was something I imagined I would do when I ever got to that point where I could. Now, I did say rom-coms because that was something I actively hated. I hated Julia Roberts because her movies annoyed me. And I think part of that was because I was, you know, kind of a douche. And that was my mask. That was how I repelled people, was how I got them from not looking too far under the surface.
Right.
And so I never actually took the time to watch Julia Roberts movies. Now, the other big one was Sandra Bullock, but I still can't bring myself to watch Sandra Bullock movies yet. I'm still kind of, you know, Julia Roberts, she's the vaccine. Once I get inoculated, I'll go swimming in the lake and see if I don't die.
Oh my God, I'm glad nobody listens to that. Oh, we would be in such trouble. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good question to start off with. Okay. So,
thank you very much. That was a good question.
Yeah. So, this is the next one. Is kind of an interesting one because this can go a couple of different ways. So, the question is. How do you handle the emotional ups and downs with two women in your house? Now, this question can be, like I said, go in two ways. Because if you don't know this, Stephanie is actually living temporarily in my house with me and AJ. So there's two different dynamics here. There is dealing with me and Steph, mm-hmm. who to trans women who are running around, as AJ so eloquently put it, like a couple of 13-year-old girls.
Yes.
And then there's the whole issue between me and AJ, that dynamic. I'm going to start with the me and AJ dynamic.
Yes.
And it's honestly been a lot easier than I expected it to be. To say that doesn't mean it wasn't hard to do. It was a rocky start. It was very touch and go, and as we all know, when you're on hormone therapy, your hormonal levels are in flux, and that causes your emotional levels to be just Mr. Toad's wild freaking ride. Okay, it's insane sometimes. So you do have to fight with yourself and your emotions. And, you know I break down and just cry for absolutely no reason. I get upset at little things. I also get overly joyed at the stupidest things. And with someone like AJ, she's had to deal with that. She's kind of got the advantage of dealing with that since she was born. And AJ herself does have the same issues with emotional instability. She will just cry for absolutely no reason. It could have been the happiest thing we've ever done. 20 minutes later, she can be crying, have zero idea why. And that's okay. But I think the easiest way to deal with the ups and downs is we communicate a lot more. We talk. I genuinely take interest in what's bothering her. And she understands sometimes neither of us can put into words what's wrong. And just understanding that now, because I'm going through those things, makes things so much, I want to say, easier. Because now I don't just feel sympathetic. I can freaking truly 100% relate. I can relate to just curling up in the bathroom and crying and having zero idea why. Absolutely none. So I think the easiest way we can deal with the ups and the downs with AJ and I is that communication. And just talking about it. And when something's genuinely bugging us, we talk about it. You know, we mute the TV, look at each other, and we talk. When something is super happy and exciting, we both do our best to share in that happiness. So dealing with it, I think communication has been the only way that makes it deal with it, to deal with that. Especially now, because, like I said, now I can relate. And at the same time, because she understands, now she doesn't always understand the dysphoria part, but she understands a lot of things, she can relate to me. And I think that's how we deal with the ups and downs. So that to me is the big dynamic there.
Mm-hmm.
When you have two trans women in the house, that is, had somebody told me it's going to end up being like a sitcom, I wouldn't have believed them. I'd have been like, nah, we're good. We're cool.
I was thinking that myself. It's sort of like a cross between Three's Company and The Odd Couple, but it's all women.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, Steph. You and I are nowhere near emotionally stable.
No, not even a little bit.
I mean, we're going to peel back the curtain here, but most people don't realize this. We've had several pretty serious fights. I mean, we didn't come to physical blows, but we've had some really serious arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually because one of us says something, and it doesn't matter which one, and the other takes it personally. And it was never meant to be personal. It was just something that was offhanded.
Mm-hmm. I think for me...
Go ahead.
For me, the biggest thing that's been helpful for me in handling the ups and downs in this dynamic, you know, between the two of us. Yes, communication has been big. It's been very big. I think a lot of it, too, for me is I can be myself around you. And
yeah.
I've never felt comfortable enough to be myself around anybody. Even when I was at home by myself and it was just me and no one else was around, I was still afraid to be myself because I was always scared someone would notice or would hear or I don't know. I was just always afraid. And so one of the things for me is I spend a lot of my time, she probably knows this, but she probably doesn't always know this. I spend a lot of my time thinking of ways that I can make her life easier or do things for her, help out around the house. And sometimes I don't come through in that regards, but I'm always coming to Robin and I'm saying, hey, how can I help? What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's my way of, you know, okay, I might feel this big and you make me feel like I'm not this big, you know?
Right.
And so I want
to... By the way, for those of you who couldn't see, she was doing the fingers close together as if she's tiny.
Right. Sorry. And so I've been trying really hard to, you know, have that sister dynamic relationship where it's like, I don't take everything you say to heart. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I take it to heart, but I mean like personal.
Yeah, and
right.
You shouldn't.
And sometimes I really do, like, I'll give an example if that's okay.
Go ahead.
There was a fight we had, and it was a rough one, and I didn't know if we were going to get past it because it was one where I really didn't expect that it was going to go the way it did because I was expecting a different reaction than what I got. And once we got through it, I knew one of the things that she is constantly getting on to me about is my Hot Wheels. I'm always buying Hot Wheels. And the big problem is we have limited space. So there's nowhere for me to put all these toys. And so I was at the store and I was looking at Hot Wheels. And I was just thinking of what kind of gesture can I make that will tell Robin that, okay, I'm really sorry. And also I'm thinking about you. And I got her a Muppets Hot Wheel.
Fozzie Bear. Mm-hmm. Waka Waka.
Because how much she loves the Muppets. And she knows I don't. But mm-hmm. It was one of those. I know it was only like a 99-cent toy. And it was one of those. It's like, you know. But it was something that I was. It was my way of saying, okay, I can't fix this. But I can at least say I'm sorry.
Right.
And I can do better next time.
Right. And I will say that, yeah, we both have moments where we kind of blow up at each other. And it is like fighting with your sister. And I'm not going to lie. There are times I want to just come across the counter and just slap the taste out of your mouth for something you said.
It goes both ways. But
and it does go both
ways. I keep it to myself usually, those thoughts.
And
but I let her know when she crosses a line.
Right. And that's, you're right. We talk about it. And I admit, I pick on you like a sister does. But you've also been around the dynamic long enough to know that that's just how it is. You know, we all, the whole circle, the whole family picks on each other
mm-hmm.
in good nature.
And I had to point out to Robin, too, in my family, we yell.
Right.
And she got to see me yelling a couple of times where I was like, I'm not mad. I'm just raising my voice because that's what we do. And I, you know, I've had to since scale back on that because, you know, that you don't, that's not what you do. But in my family, that's what you do. You yell. And so that's been an area where we have had some clashes because it's like, you know, hey, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm perfectly calm, but I can't really explain.
But she sounds like that. She's talking through a megaphone because she's yelling at the top
right.
of her lungs.
And so in our family dynamic, there's yelling. That's having a conversation. And then there's angry yelling, which I tried not to do.
Right. And I just don't, because of the way I grew up, you don't yell anymore because yelling was all we ever had thrown at us, was being yelled at constantly for everything. Now, that doesn't mean, like, if Steph's upstairs and dinner's ready, I'm not going to yell out, dinner's right. ready, which I do, but... I mean, I don't have to yell very loud because this house echoes like
yeah,
you would not
and
believe.
To be fair, she does that because I don't answer her texts.
Yes. I will always text her first going, hey, dinner's ready. 15 minutes later, dinner's getting cold. It's like, hey, Steph, get your ass out of here.
And you know, that goes back to miscommunication because I've told her repeatedly, text me on my phone. Because I get notifications on my phone.
That's true.
I don't get notifications on Facebook.
That's true.
Because so, if I did, my phone would be beeping all the time like yours does.
Yeah, mine goes off all the freaking time. So, yeah, I mean, that's... I think in either situation, the big key to making everything work is fairly straightforward. It's communication.
And a lot of crying, let's be real.
There has been a lot of crying.
My eyes are dry from the crying.
I get dehydrated from crying. That's how bad. And, I mean, we've kind of figured each other out. It's taken a little while. I know for a fact she knows my tells of, oops, I crossed a line.
Yeah, like just today, I take Fridays. I get off an hour early on Friday because I have therapy. I'm not going to have therapy this week. So I asked my boss, can I get off early today so I can get home early? Because I was thinking Robin wants to get done with the podcast earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of her, you know. I could have took that extra hour for myself and just, you know, went to Walmart and wandered around. But I didn't.
No.
Because I was thinking of you.
Aw. See, sometimes I want to slap you and then you do things like that. And it's like, damn it, now I can't slap you because... I don't know.
And she waters my plants when I forget.
Your plants. I do a whole bunch.
She feeds my cat.
So, yeah.
Well, I think she cuddles with my cat when I'm not around, but she won't admit it.
I'm going to say no on that. So,
I cuddle with her cats when she's not around. They usually...
I'm also going to say no on that because I know my cats.
They do not consent to that cuddling.
No.
So,
but that was a very good question.
Yes.
Communication is key.
And knowing when to say you're sorry.
Knowing when
you messed up.
Yeah.
And listening to the other person, which goes under communication.
Yeah. You know. That's basically how we.
Basically, it's the same way you deal with any women in any situation. You just listen to them and you talk to them because. We're people.
Like, yeah, and I will say to most trans women who are listening, you know, it does take you time to deprogram that little part of your brain that says don't listen, don't worry about it.
Or your instinct is to go into let's fix it mode.
Or go into fix it mode. Or even worse, let's go into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
That's even worse, so yeah. All right, our last question.
Dun dun dun.
I'm gonna say Ooh. This.
I will behave, I
you,
promise.
You better behave and you better answer this respectfully because
I will answer it honestly.
You can answer it honestly, but be respectful because I have a lot of objects within grabbing distance I can fling right at you.
She pointed to the knife sitting on the table as she said that.
I pointed to the mouse, not the knife.
Oh yeah, the mouse sitting next to the knife.
So Yeah. So this is from one of our Facebook friends, and it's, as an outsider, Texas seems to be a very unfriendly and inhospitable place for trans individuals. How do you feel about this? Now, before you answer, and you're going to get to answer first, I want everybody to know why we're answering this. I am a native Texan.
I am not.
We live in Texas. You know, we're here in Texas. We record the show in Texas. So we are affected by everything going on in Texas. So it's important that we kind of talk about this. Now, I'm going to say that Stephanie and I have talked about things like this off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a little bit of a disagreement from time to time. So, again, Stephanie, be nice and respectful. And I'm going to let you answer that one first. So how do you feel about that?
I'm going to start off by saying, first of all, and I feel like this is worth saying because I don't know if I've ever really said it to you, but I actually love Texas. It's a great state. And I'm not just saying that as someone who lives here. When I was a kid, I read about Texas, and I always wanted to move here. I was a fan of the Cowboys, and I always thought it looked like a cool place to live. That's why I moved here. That's why I took a job here and came to this place. So for me, it was there are a lot of good things about the state. Absolutely. Things that you can see projected over the rest of the country. But there's also a lot of things that suck about the state. And here's the part that I want to be careful how I say this, but I want to be real. There are a lot of Confederates in this state, leftover people who still think that we're fighting a war or that they're subjugated by the enemy or whatever. I lived in a county where those people were prominent. And so my experience in Texas was tainted by that image. Now, I found out that is not indicative of the rest of the state. This was a small pocket of people like that in a great big state. And so my initial experiences were, like I said, they were kind of skewered by that. But I've since realized, talking to people in the business, in the media business, because I worked at different newspapers, and I interviewed a lot of people from all over the state, business people, politicians, musicians who traveled, authors, all kinds of people. And I've realized that that's not really the way it is in Texas. There's this belief that Texas is superior to the rest of the country. There are a lot of Texans who believe that. But they actually have a lot of points that they can back that claim up with. Texas is by itself one of the top 10 economies in the world. Top 5 in the world. We have a stronger economy in Texas than they do in all of Russia. And so Texas does have a lot that it can point to and say, yeah, we got a lot of good going on. One of the things I did as a reporter, as I worked on those stories, I did stories on the infrastructure in Texas, which, you know, for all the problems we have with the power grid, we have no problem. You will not find a pothole in this state. If you find a pothole, you're in a really shitty town that doesn't know what to do, because I've been in small towns that don't have potholes. They take care of their fucking roads in Texas. You can get on a bridge and you know that bridge isn't going to collapse. You can't say that in every state. I've seen some bridges in states I won't name that I was like, I'm gonna find another route. You don't have that in Texas. So there's a lot of things that people in Texas can brag about. And the flip side of that is it gives them sometimes an arrogance that makes them feel superior to everybody else. And there are really good people in this state. Now, if you're going to draw political lines, which I don't like doing, but I took courses in political science in college. If you're going to draw political lines, Texas is not as red as you think it is. Texas is a very, very blue state with some very, very bright red pockets. And the red pockets sort of outshine the blue. Texas has the same problem every state has: gerrymandering. So the red districts have more voter control than some of the blue districts, and that's by design, and there's nothing we can do about that. But that's politics we can't get into here. So a lot of times you look at the districts, and I saw this when I was a news reporter. I asked questions. I was like, why do the districts look like, you know, like there was like this line that went in a circle and then this little dip, and then it went back around and it zigzagged. And I was like, that's funky. But that's how it is. There's a lot of gerrymandering in the state, and that's well known. It's documented. That's why the federal government has watchdogs on the state of Texas, because Texas is very well known for its not, I'm not going to say voter suppression, but I'm going to say it's well known for its, but we'll say
loopholes.
Yeah, they have a lot of manipulation going on, and they do that. Any state, every state does it to its own extent. It's the people in power trying to stay in power. And Texas is currently, it's Republicans in power who are trying to stay in power. But it wasn't always that way. And when you look back at our history, the state's history and the country's history, we've had one, two, three presidents, I can say, who are from Texas. One was a Democrat and two were Republicans, right?
I believe so.
The two Bushes and then LBJ.
Yes.
If you compared LBJ's politics to Bill Clinton's politics, you're going to see that they were pretty much, aside from a few things that changed as society changed, they're pretty much the same guy. Whereas Bush and Bush Jr., Bush Sr., they're not that different.
Nope.
Texas had what was called a red shift in the 90s, just as recently as the 90s. It was a very blue state until then. Dallas is one of those reasons. Dallas, the surrounding areas around Dallas where we live, are very red. We live in a big town, a city, in fact, but it's a red city. It's one of the rare red cities.
We live in the reddest,
yes,
city.
Most of the time, your red areas are rural, but not always. We know there are rural cities. There are red cities, I should say, not rural. And so Texas does have, on the surface, a lot of politicians who are trying to do things that are harmful to trans people. But if you go out on the street and you talk to your average Texan, they don't like those things either. They don't like their politicians. And the reason why people are always like, well, why don't you vote them out? We've been trying. But it comes down to gerrymandering. You can have two people living across the street from each other who won't vote for the same guy, but they're in different districts, and their votes cancel each other out. That happens a lot in Texas, and that's unfortunate, because that's what the real problem is. You have people in power who have gamed the system, and you know, we all know who the biggest culprit of that is.
Yep.
He's on the national scene, and he's kind of a slimy guy. If you want to get down to it.
Okay. Right.
And but Texans themselves, even the reddest Texans, I'll say this, they have big hearts. I have seen racist Confederate tattooed rednecks who will take the shirt off of their back and give it to you if you need it. Even if they hate you, they'll still, you're a human, you're a person, they'll take care of you. They might go home and complain about you or call you names behind their back or vote for some bill that restricts your freedoms, but face to face, they're going to treat you right for the most part. And that's different from what I've experienced in other places where you have bigotry that is
absolute.
Yeah. It's more like, no, you're not a human being as far as I'm concerned. And so I've seen, and I lived in, she was just talking about how this is the reddest city. I lived in the reddest county. It voted. You can't be a Democrat in that county. You have no votes, no voice, no vote. And like I said, there were Confederate flags. The KKK, right after the election that we just had, were going around actively trying to recruit. They were visible, publicly visible. That's not all of Texas. But when that's your first impression of Texas, it can scar you, which it did definitely for me. But now that I've been in the Metroplex, basically, or around it, I should say, I don't feel that anymore. I've been places where people give me looks, but it's not the same. It's not like it's not the same as where it was, where I had to hear the disgusting things people would say.
Okay.
I think the state as a whole is a pretty good place. And I even had friends who were very, very liberal tell me that. They're like, you can't hate all of Texas. Hate this place, that place, or this guy.
That, first off, I'm going to say that was completely different than the way I thought you were going to go, because we've had our discussions. Texas, I will always defend Texas. Texas is my home. I get upset when someone talks trash about Texas. I am a native, born and raised here. I will probably be buried here. In fact, I know I will be, because that will be where I want to be. Now, whether I'm actually just buried in a cemetery or have a giant city-sized mausoleum in...
Because she's going to be the queen of the Republic of Texas, or the Empire of Texas.
The sovereignty of Texas.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with the Republic of Texas crap. so I get very defensive when people start talking poorly about Texas, because this is my home. Anybody who's interacted with me on Twitter, you know that when I see stuff that's coming out about anti-trans laws or anything else that's just shady as fuck, that affects my home, I get very emotional about it, because it is my home.
Right.
And I'm proud to be a Texan. Texans, we used to be, when I was growing up, I knew people from all over the country, and I knew people from all over the world. In fact, one of my first jobs, I worked with a man who was from Japan, and his thoughts about Texans were, every Texan is friendly and welcoming. We all have swimming pools. We all have cowboy hats. We all have horses, and we all love tornadoes. And let me tell you, it was kind of a shock to him to know that that was not the case. I don't have a horse. I cannot take care of a horse.
It is horse country, though.
It's, there are some places that are horse country. I don't have a pool.
Mm-hmm.
I have a kind of cowboy hat. Mm-hmm. Not really. Mm-hmm. But the first thing, that all Texans are friendly and welcoming. We used to be. In fact, I don't even want to say that. I want to say we are. The problem is those people who do such negative things like the anti-trans laws, they do it for two reasons. They do it because it's easier to get people riled up in this state if you start, and I'm going to use my air quotes, insulting religion. In fact, I will say this, most of the lawmakers who's arguing in favor of anti-trans laws, most of their arguments are not scientifically based. In fact, I'm going to try not to get too upset over this, but the Texas Senate bill that passed, I'm calling someone out. Charles Perry wrote it. And his only argument, after all the medical professionals, all the trans parents, the parents of trans youth, I should say, all the trans youth, all the advocacy groups, after everybody said their piece, his final thing was, but it's an affront to God, and you can't say that you are, that our God is imperfect because he made a mistake and put you in a different body. And that's very common. And the reason that's very common in this state is because this state does have a very large faith-based culture.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all, we hate you. Only a small amount use the Bible to actually come at us. The other thing that happens, and this has been something that I've noticed for, quite a while. Anti-trans laws and anti-LGBTQ laws here in Texas, they're used as a smokescreen. I'm sure everybody around the country and even probably the world heard about the deep freeze where Texas power grid failed. Now, for those who do not know, Texas is on its own power grid. We are not connected to the national grid in any way. So the federal power grid, which powers most of the country, does not touch Texas. The other part to it is it's run by an organization that when you start talking about it, it all sounds like it's a state-run agency, and it's not. It's a private, commercialized corporation.
And that's one of the things about Texas is that they're real big on private business.
Private business. We love business. It's why Texas is the fifth biggest economy in the world. But we had this major ice storm, and there were Texans who died
mm-hmm.
because they literally froze to death.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started returning to normal, after any disaster, people want to know why. Why did it fail? And the truth is slowly coming out, and a lot of it boils down to not being prepared, and it boils down to poor leadership. I'm very vocal about our leadership. You want to know my opinion? DM me on Twitter. I can go on for days. But the anti-trans laws, like we had not that long ago, the bathroom bill that popped up, they're all smoke screens. And it's how do we get people to do something different, to not focus on our failings? What's something we can do by scaring the shit out of people who are basing life in religious terms? Or as a faith-based community, how can we scare the piss out of them? And they always go back to the LGBTQ community and children. And they want to make this smokescreen. Texas and Texans, we're not Bible-thumping bigots, racists.
The first person who accepted me as trans was a Baptist minister.
We used to say we welcome everybody. Hell, Lyle Lovett, one of the most Texan of Texans, has a song, and the chorus is, "That's right, you're not from Texas, but Texas wants you anyway." We accept everybody. Even if you say stupid shit like Ted Cruz. Oh, did I drop another name? Yes. We just don't need leaders like that. And it's our leaders and these people who are pushing negative agendas that make us look bad because they are the loudest. Now, Steph said she used to live in the reddest county. Well, that's only recently because the county we live in has traditionally been the reddest. In fact, it wasn't that long ago when we could say we lived in the reddest city, in the reddest county, in the reddest state. And not all Texans are negative. We do love others from outside. And I mean, come to Texas. You're all welcome. And I don't think Texas is inhospitable to trans individuals. I think our leadership treats trans individuals as a smokescreen. In fact, the easiest way to describe it is kind of like Family Guy. And there's an episode of Family Guy where Mayor West spends all this money on a gold statue of the Diggum, the Honey Smacks frog. Well, what does he do to try to get people not to look at it and not be angry at him? He pulls out his keys and he jingles his keys. I hate to say this, but trans people, we're the keys that they're jiggling in front of us. And the problem is those people have the cameras on them. You know, Houston is one of the most trans-friendly cities out there. Dallas, we're getting there. In fact, I sometimes think there's a race going on between Dallas and Houston. Who's going to have a transgender district first? My money's on Dallas, but that's because that's home. I love my...
We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen. But are we... Is Texas unfriendly? No. It only seems that way because our leadership...
Texas isn't, but some of its politicians are.
Exactly. And those are the people with the cameras and the microphones on them. So do I think Texas is unfriendly and inhospitable?
Going back...
Our leadership, yes. Our actual Texans, no. I don't think so at all.
Real quick, going back to that previous example, when I was leaving my family behind because I was trans and they didn't want me in their life, they didn't kick me out of their lives or kick me off their land. They just said, you know, hey, it's best you keep your distance. You know, we just don't want you around us. Even when I was going through that, and this was in the middle of the snowstorm and I was struggling, they still offered to buy back my house from me to help me get out of there.
Yeah.
Someone that hates you wouldn't do that. They would chase you off their land with a shotgun.
Yep.
And they were like, they even let me come back and get things the next day that I missed.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, so, and these are people that did, that do hate me for being trans. And they were still like, you're a person, you're in need, and we're going to help you out as long as we, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we're done now. Please go.
Part of me sometimes when I start looking at the stuff that's going on with trans individuals here in this state, and our state leadership, I do ask and I wonder sometimes how many of our leaders are legit Native Texans, because Native Texans don't behave that way. And if you don't believe it, find a room of Native Texans.
And going back to that whole smokescreen thing too, a lot of these trans bills are failing. And the thing is, it's exactly like she just said. They're only doing it to get people focused on that, so that you're not asking the other questions, because these bills are intended to fail.
Yes,
they're not. That's why they're so radical. Everyone's like, oh my god, because Texas is debating the most radical bill in the country. They do. Texas is always debating radical bills that never get passed.
No, it's simply something to run out the clock at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because the legislative session is about to end. But yeah, you're right. It that's exactly what it is. And it's a lot of times it's just, like I said, it's a smokescreen.
That doesn't mean we don't fight to stop them.
That's right.
Or we just get complacent and just let it go. Because if
it does pass, well, that emboldens that small percentage that do actually have the power and the hatred and the bigotry. And we don't want to embolden them. Not at all.
No, and when people, and I want to go back to when people say, well, why don't Texans just get smart and elect new politicians? We talked a little bit about the entrenched, the good old boy system, if you will. The swamp. The other thing is, when I was in Nevada, we continuously elected Harry Reid to be our senator. Even though Harry Reid was the most liberal at the time that you could get, in the state, in the Senate, He was very, very liberal. Nevada's not a liberal state. Nevada's a very purple state. Very, you know, we voted for Bush. We voted for Obama. We voted for, you know, we almost voted for Trump. We ended up swinging for what's her name? Clinton? Hillary. But Nevada's pretty much a swing state, and the reason for that is we've got a lot of similarities to Texas in some ways. We've got a lot of rural areas. We've got a lot of ranchers and stuff. But we kept voting for Harry. Even the red staunchest Republicans voted for Harry Reid because he was good for Nevada. He took care of Nevadans. When he went to the Senate, there was national politics, and then there was state politics. And one of the things that does happen in Texas, one of the reasons why people keep voting for their same representative or legislator or whatever, is because these issues, these trans issues, these smokescreen issues, come around once in a while. But it's all the other stuff that they do that a lot of people say, well, they're doing. That's why we have a strong economy. That's why businesses are flocking to Texas, because they're. It's like you have all these things that they're doing that people think, well, yeah, I agree with all this stuff. Yes, it sucks that they're gonna, you know, make giving your kids hormones child abuse. But is that worth voting for this liberal guy from California that I don't like anything he wants to do? And a lot of times, it's no, it's not.
Yeah, and that's true. There is a little bit of that, but I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. Because yeah, it's kind of an insane thing. But yeah, you're right. Trans issues don't come around very often. I think with our current cultural climate, it's a big deal right now. Mm-hmm. And that just happens to be magnified here in Texas. And I think a lot of it too is the reason it's magnified here is, I mean, come on, look at us.
We're so big.
Texas is freaking huge. I mean, it takes a day to drive from one end of the state to the other.
Population wise, we're number what, two? Right behind California?
I believe so.
And economy wise, we're number one in the country. I think we have a stronger economy than California.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, we're number five in the world, but we are a powerhouse for
Texas
certain.
Is one of the reasons why the United States is the superpower it is.
You're welcome. But still,
I mean, we have NASA.
We're not. Yeah, of course, we have NASA. We have NASA and we have the tanks. They keep the tanks here. That just solidifies Texans do like to blow shit up.
Yes. Even us gay ones.
And come on, if you've never blown something up, you're missing out. But yeah, we're definitely. Most native Texans and most Texans, while we're struggling, it is something we are welcome. We are welcome. But yeah, Texas is definitely, is it inhospitable? Not really. It sounds like it is, but it's not really. So to my trans brothers and sisters and others in the LGBTQ community, just like old Lyle Lovett said, that's right, not from Texas. But Texas wants you anyway. And who knows, in 10 years, you know, your girl here might be in charge, and we'll see. Texas might become a transgender utopia. But, I mean, of course, I'd like to have superpowers to do
that. I
think
she ate some funky mushrooms before the show.
I'm not funky mushrooms, but maybe I did some drinking. I don't know. I've been cooking
without me.
I mean, so yeah. So
do we have time to get into?
Okay.
Into another topic, or you want to dive into our top five? Where are you at?
Well, the other topic was going to be kind of role models. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of cut this down in parts here, because this is something I wanted to talk about. That's kind of important. I do feel like some of what I was going to say in this other topic did we just discussed with our leadership here. But we need to address the elephant in the room.
Yes.
And we need to address this elephant in the room because this elephant says they represent us. And by that, I don't mean they represent the Transpose Pod. I don't mean they represent Texas. I mean, they think and they act like they represent the transgender community. And in all honesty, they don't. And that elephant in the room is old Caitlyn Jenner. So if you've been keeping track, she's running for governor of California. And I've been really, really good. You all should be very proud of me. I kept out of it because that's California's issue.
Yep.
Who's in charge is California's problem. I have enough to worry about with who's in charge here in Texas.
Yeah, and Jenner, please don't come to Texas and run for governor.
Oh, no, we will run her out.
We've got enough problems as it is.
But what finally pushed me over the edge, now I was going to do this as a little audio blog for the Patreon, but this is a little more important. So what pushed me over the edge is two things. One, everybody keep calling her an activist, and she's not. Two is a recent interview, and she said she is a role model for young girls. First off, Caitlyn Jenner, you are so damn white privileged, it's not even funny. You do not speak for us. I did some research trying to find what she does activist-wise. And other than a couple of interviews where she talked about working with the government, she hasn't done anything. You know, and those things that she's tried to work with the government, she mentioned being away from the cameras and closed door meetings with people like God, now I can't even remember their names. But some senators and things that were no longer in the Senate. And when I start to think about that, it's, you don't say what you did. You don't say how you helped the community. You just say that you do. Caitlyn Jenner does not represent trans individuals at all. Does not. So anybody who's listening who's an ally, spread that message.
Well, if Kanye West decided he was trans, she can represent him.
Yeah, yeah. But she does not, and the trans community as a whole, and I know this because I've seen Twitter, I've seen message boards, I've seen all social media. Caitlyn, we don't want you.
I mean, be trans all you want.
Just go be trans over there, because you have not had half, not even half, not even a quarter of the struggles of your average transgender individual.
She don't even lose sponsorships.
No.
Nothing. She's,
no, she doesn't. She's, I'll tell you what really bugs me. Caitlyn Jenner is not one of those individuals who has to worry that when she goes to the doctor's going to take her off her hormones because of her cholesterol level or her blood sugar or any of those other things that they sometimes try to use. I'm like, well, I'm taking you off. Not once. So the elephant in the room is, and I really wish we had a lot more time to talk about this, but we're kind of running a little long, is Caitlyn, stop. You're not a role model. You've never been a role model. Even before transitioning, all you've done is profit off being trans, and we can't have that. So you want to be governor, fine, go be governor. Stop calling yourself an activist, stop calling yourself a role model, and you know, in your girl's particular way of saying it, just shut the hell up. Nobody cares, especially the community, right?
I have no strong opinions on this. I agree with you that she's not, I wouldn't classify her as an activist.
At all.
I'm just kind of like, I'm more,
I get mad when people say they're an activist and they're a role model, and it's, there's nothing to back that up.
Right.
Activists aren't quiet. Okay? Activists are loud. We talk shit. We do things, but you can't really say that with her. So I really wish we had more time to go into this. Maybe we'll go into this on Robin's thoughts a little bit, and maybe we'll go into this on another topic. But let's lighten the show.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
And let's move into this week's top five, as voted on by Twitter and a coin toss.
Uh-oh.
Because we will say we put up a poll, as we usually do,
yep,
on Twitter. So if you're listening and you want to vote, go vote. Go vote to the polls. We had a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And as we always do when we have a tie, we flip a coin. That's just the easiest way to do it. Heads or tails, you know? So this week's top five, Steph, would you like to tell them what it is?
Zoo animals.
Zoo animals.
And these are not Tiger King zoos.
Well, I mean, a zoo is a zoo. It just depends on how wonderful they treat it. Treat the animals. I will start off by saying I am a big fan of the show Secrets of the Zoo on National Geographic. I love all of those, so this wasn't really that hard for me to do. So, Steph, as we usually do, what's your number five?
Well, I'm going to tell you my number five by doing something you've heard me do a lot.
Oh, dear God. She cheated.
Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, God.
I love cats. And so I picked big cats.
Okay.
I love big cats. I love small cats. I love cats. And I don't care what kind of cat it is. It can be a panther. It can be a jaguar. It can be a tiger. It can be a lion. A bobcat. Although, let's call him something. Let's call him a billy cat or something, because I don't like the word bob. But let's.
No, they're bobcats.
I don't care. Anyways, bear cats are the only ones I probably don't like, because they're not really cats. But, you know.
They're also not bears.
I know. But the actual cats, all the big cats, I don't care. I just love cats. They can growl. They can purr. They can hiss. I don't care. Just, they're so fucking goddamn adorable. I love cats. And I love how, even though they're giant, you know, man-eating monsters, they still cuddle and purr and chase the ball of yarn just like house cats.
Okay, yeah.
So cute.
So that's your number five, mm-hmm. Big cats, okay.
Big cats. And I lump them all together because they're all equal to me.
Yeah.
Cat's a cat.
My number five is actually zebras.
Ooh.
And zebras, I've noticed both, you know, going to zoos and watching documentaries and stuff, zebras are fucking smart. I mean, they look ridiculous, but they're fucking smart.
Okay.
I don't know. I just kind of dig the smart horse. Now, I always thought horses themselves are pretty smart, which is probably why that they don't listen to me. But yeah, zebras live in wide open areas, yet they're black and white, and it's like you could see that forever. But how does this camouflage work? It doesn't. It's just kind of weird. But yeah, zebras, my number five. What's your number four?
Well, I've only been to the zoo twice. The first zoo I went to, they did not have these guys. But the second zoo I went to did. The first zoo I went to was the one in Omaha, Nebraska. They had them, but they were tucked away because they were reconstructing their habitat. And then the other one I went to was Gainesville. They have a zoo in Gainesville, and here in Texas, Gainesville, Texas. And they did have them. I like the big, giant, long-necked, dinosaur-looking giraffes because they look like dinosaurs, and they're just so funky and exotic. And, you know, I'm not going to pet a giraffe because I'm not petting any zoo animal, thank you very much. But, you know, they look weird and exotic, and they're just they do remind – I know they're not dinosaurs, but they just look like dinosaurs, and I think they're so cute.
Okay, they're kind of an interesting evolution.
And I like they're yellow. There's not a lot of yellow animals, really.
No, not a lot.
And they've got like those. They've got those like Martian ears. I like the Martian ears that
they are kind of wild. Little Martian nubs on the top. Mm-hmm. Little antenna. Okay.
So yeah, I like the giraffes. They're
okay.
Neat.
My number four are lemurs.
Interesting.
Lemurs are. Just to me, they're fascinating little creatures. They're super inquisitive.
Okay.
They're also slightly mischievous. But they're really interesting little animal, and the way they can use their tails and things. That's just always kind of been, you know, kind of interesting to me. You know, they're kind of monkey-like, but they're not. And, yeah, so my number four is going to be lemurs.
Interesting. One of the reasons why I like doing the top fives is we get to know a little bit more about each other as well.
Yeah.
And knowing what I know about Robin, I can see this, you know, lemur thing.
Yeah.
That first one I was a little taken back, but okay, you know.
The last one I had to think about. I really had to think about it. So
yeah, that didn't sound like my Robin.
No, not usually, but I had to really think about that. So what's your number three?
Well, cats, you knew also, you knew going into this, I was going to say cats.
Oh, well, yeah.
I also like I just said, the giraffe. I like the exoticer looking ones. I like the ones that remind me of the dinosaurs. And my number three is the one that looks the most like a dinosaur. It's Mr. Rhino. I love them guys.
Okay.
Now, I will say there's a John Wayne movie. I'm not the name escapes me right now, but it's a movie where they're hunting rhinos in Africa. And despite the fact that they're hunting rhinos, it's actually an interesting movie. I would recommend checking it out, even if you hate John Wayne for whatever reason. Because, you know, I guess you're allowed to. But what I like about rhinos, for one, I discovered rhinos when I was a kid. Because of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the number one
of course
villain, one of the baddies is a his name is Rocksteady, and he's a half human, half rhinoceros, guy, and they also look like dinosaurs. You got they're gray, they got the little whippy tails, and they got the big giant horn on the front of their nose, and the little bitty horn right behind it. So they look kind of funky dory, you know.
Okay,
and they're tough. They're tough bastards.
They really are.
And I just, you know, rhinos are endangered. A lot of species are on the verge of going extinct. And so we definitely, rhinos are an animal we need in the zoos because we need to keep them safe.
Yeah.
Because people want to kill them to cut off their horns.
Which makes
no sense. And then disregard the rest of it because they just want the horn.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Hmm.
Okay.
Makes me sad. Now, they do kind of look like giant rats, but I'm not opposed to rats. I kind of like rats.
Not really. So, okay, all right. Yeah, rhinos. Okay, so my number three are otters.
Oh, God.
I love otters. Otters
How
are
did I not see that
super
coming?
Playful, and they're just adorable.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing.
They're
it's just
absolutely adorable, and I don't know, something about just they have big personalities. They're unique, like humans. They're very unique, mm-hmm. In how they behave. You know, they just, but they're super cuddly, and they're just super fascinating. And they're intelligent. They're really, really smart animals. So yeah, I mean, otters are my number three. What's your number two?
I was real tempted to try to pick one of the exotic bears. I couldn't decide if I wanted a koala bear because I think they're cute. I couldn't decide if I wanted a panda bear, but they look kind of like they're hiding something, and I just feel like they're probably full of shit. And then I decided, you know, when I was a kid, I went to the circus when they still were a thing. And I got to see an animal that I didn't put on the list initially because I thought of them as a circus animal. But since now the circus is no longer a thing for the most part, or at least that type of circus is no longer, because Barnum and Bailey went out of business. I'm like, okay, I really like the elephants because they represent, like, again, big, giant, dinosaur-looking animals. They represent some of the variety in life on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're very smart, and they're not, you know, they're not unfriendly to humans.
Right.
I got to ride an elephant when I was a kid, and it was just like riding a bike. It was just like, it was calm, and it was easier than a horse. Horse, you have to break it in. An elephant's just like, I've got a lap, sit on it.
Yep.
You know?
Well, of course, that elephant also thinks that if you're unruly, I can fling you off and step on you.
But they're you know, and the elephants, no, they're not cute, but, you know, they look kind of funky, and I like funky.
Super smart animals.
Yeah.
Super intelligent.
And like myself, your elephants can enjoy some wine from time to time.
Of course, that's the reason. Steph, I think you might have a problem.
Maybe, but they're also kind of, they got that, they got a trunk, and they make a lot, they got their own built-in musical instrument.
That's true.
And
it,
and they do, they make songs, they make music.
Yep.
And
okay.
They're kind of, they're just kind of, I would say wild, but not in a bad way. They're like funky wild.
Okay. Elephants. Yeah. All right. All right.
Welcome.
So my number two is about the only spot on here where we line up on something.
Uh-oh.
And I by that, I mean our number twos are not the same, right, but you chose the same thing. If you know me, you know I am cat people. I am just... I'm cat people. I don't have any issues with cats at all. So for me, number two are all the big cats. And why? The variety, the evolution,
mm-hmm,
of cats. And all cats are not that different. I mean, tigers, and cheetahs, and lions, and they still have moments where they act like a house cat. They roll around and they play and they purr and they meow. And well, I guess it's more of a roar in some of them. though a cheetah, air quotes, roar is just super adorable. but they're super intelligent. Not all cats like to be together. There are species that prefer to be apart and be individuals, but some of them do hang out together and have social groups. But big cats have always just fascinated me. They're almost, most big cats are almost the apex predators. And their ability, I start to think, what could I do if I had hearing like theirs? Or eyesight like theirs. And I mean, you could really do a lot. And so that they're just a real majestic animal too. I can definitely see why the Egyptians worshipped cats.
Okay.
And big cats. So yeah, that's my number two. So any big cat, including the looks cuddly but is definitely not, bobcats.
Okay.
So what's your number one, Steph?
Well, real quick before I say my number one.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my God. It's not that bad. I'm just going to say, with as much Cheetos as I eat, I can't believe I left off the cheetah on my list.
Cheetahs are just adorable.
I do like cheetahs. When I was a kid, I always wanted to go to two places. There's two reasons, but I won't get into all of it. Texas is one of those places. I always admired the state of Texas, and I always thought it would be a cool place to live. I also always wanted to visit, not live in, but visit Australia. I was obsessed with it, and they have a lot of similarities on the surface, and I saw them as very similar in a lot of ways, especially
yeah,
as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into, when I was a kid, I started looking into a lot of the animals that are popular in Australia, and I did get to see one of these at the zoo I went to, one of the zoos I went to, and I thought it was just nothing like I imagined, and it's the kangaroo. I just love kangaroos because they're so fucking weird. They're like, they look like mice, giant mice.
They do.
But they don't act like mice.
Not at all.
And they're like, it's dumb as fuck, but I watched Kangaroo Jack and I laughed. And you know, I always liked, you know, the kangaroos on Winnie the Pooh. I liked them.
Kanga and Roo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I dressed up like one of them for a school play once.
Aww.
It was lots of fun. Yeah, I liked kangaroos. They've got built-in luggage.
Yep.
And they're really adorable the way they stick their little baby in their tummy, and they walk around with their little baby in their pouch, and they're,
yep,
just like, you know, the little baby pops its head out and it's like, "Hi, I'm here."
Uh-huh.
And Big Mama Kangaroo is like, "Yeah, she's here. Don't fuck with her though."
Uh-huh. They can be mean as hell.
And so I think they're cute, and they're my favorite because I would love to just, if I could live in you know, like either a wild zoo or someplace in Australia and just get to go hug a kangaroo, I probably would hug a kangaroo. As long as it was a domesticated one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they're another species that's extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a fan of, not on the top five, but I'm a fan of their much smaller cousin, the wallabies.
Oh, okay.
Wallabies and kangaroos, to me, wallabies just look a little, they're a kangaroo, but shrunk. And they just look cuter.
I came this close to saying Tasmanian devil, because when I was a kid, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Australia, even though the Tasmanian devil is not really native to Australia.
No.
But it's one that it's known for. And because of the cartoon, of course, the cartoon.
Right, the real Tasmanian devils do not do that.
No, and so that's the reason why I was like, no, I got to put kangaroo on my list, and it's definitely number one. As much as I love cats, yeah. I think the kangaroos are just cooler.
Okay, yeah, well, I can kind of say the same thing. As much as I love cats, my number one is not cats. My number one, you can find not just in a zoo, but you can find them in aquariums too. And those are penguins.
Ooh.
I love penguins. Penguins, it does not matter. They make me laugh. They make me smile. If there is a penguin exhibit, I'm grown-ass woman, I will act like a freaking four-year-old in front of the penguin exhibit. I just absolutely love them. And there's so many different species, from, you know, the ones that live in the Arctic to ones in like Africa and Madagascar. There's all kinds of different penguins. I think Australia has a breed of them that live there. But they're just so fascinating. Again, smart as can be, but it's really interesting. You see this bird that doesn't fly at all. They swim, and when they swim, it's not like they're flying. It looks so different than a bird flying in the air, but it's just so interesting. And they're so, like everything else on my list, their personalities are huge. You know, they each, their individual personalities, and they're so unique that, yeah, it's, when there's a penguin exhibit, I gotta see it. I mean, penguins make me laugh.
Okay.
And I have penguins, stuffed penguins in the bedroom that Adrina have bought for me over the years, that just, every time I look at them, I laugh and I laugh and I laugh. And that's my number one is penguins. I love them. Love okay. The little crazy birds.
When I was a kid, I had a stuffed penguin, and it was one of my favorite stuffed animals.
Oh, I've got a shit ton of them. Anyway, that is my number one, which means...
We're at the end of our show.
We're at the end of the show. So we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody who submitted questions. We're definitely going to have to come back around, and do some more questions. We really appreciate it when we get to interact with y'all and the audience that, catches us on Twitter. I mean, Twitter it's kind of my jam now. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it.
I had to talk her into it.
I know. And I didn't want to, but I did. So we want to thank you all for, submitting your questions. We want to thank everybody that has signed up on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
We want to encourage you to go sign up to Patreon. I know I say it all the time. I would love for you all to do that, because I don't want to work. But in all honesty, if you support the show through Patreon, we get to build the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to build the show, it gets bigger, it gets better. And then when we reach certain points, we can start helping our community.
Yes.
I've talked to a couple of people this week, and I just wanted to help them out, but we just couldn't. So go to the Patreon. Help us grow this show to be a beacon for the community. Help us help others in the community. As always, you can interact with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can interact with the podcast at TransposePod. You can email us, transposepod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can catch me on the Twitters at Robin Allura. You can catch my girl Stephanie at The Spider's Lair.
Mm-hmm. And where chaos resides.
Of course, you gotta plug your damn show.
If you haven't figured out by now, chaos refers to me.
Oh, I figured that out.
It is my home. I am the chaos in the show.
Yeah, I know. I tried to clean up after you.
Ah!
Anyway, thank you all for joining us on episode 17 of the Transpose Podcast. Like us, follow us, talk to us, everything. And we'll see everybody next week. Later.
Yes. Stay cool.